Blog Talk Radio.
You're now in tune into the Eagles in Flight album with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree. Apostle Marcus Dupree is an apostle on a mission. Teaches the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, commissioning leaders, and empowering with an apostolic release. Prophet Selena Dupree is a prophetic intercessor, birthing out sons and daughters in the prophetic. Eagle Wings International Ministry is located at Midland, South Carolina. They're teaching God's servants how to become leaders, always to edify and enhance a relationship with God. Also founders of Eagles in Flight Fellowship. You can write this ministry at P.O. Box 2185, Richland, South Carolina, 29936. Their phone number is 843-271-1006. And now, you are tuned into the Eagles in Flight Hour. Eagles, mount up, and Eagles, take flight.
Eagles in Flight Hour with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree.
We can have, we can talk to a bunch of people, but really when it comes down to, we need to talk to the Lord. We need to get to know Him, develop and cultivate our relationship with Him. You know, He said casting our cares unto Him because He cared for us. A lot of times we carry these burdens when it wasn't meant for us to carry them.
Just wonderful when God places a shepherd in your midst that does what Jesus does.
Everything wants to be built up in our life. Everything has a voice. You know, sometimes we can have so many voices speaking into our ears, and we just need to get to the voice that matters the most, the Lord's voice.
He gives us so many chances because He's a faithful God. You know, we mess up a lot as Christians. Sometimes it's things that we know, and then sometimes it's things that we're doing that we just don't know.
Any which way He can try and get you away from God, He's always trying to do that, always trying to pull you away.
Eagles in Flight Hour with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree. From Eagles Wings International Ministries. We're broadcasting live at BMG Radio.
I just want to call the river.
Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome to Eagles in Flight Hour with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree. Of course, I'm Prophet Selena Dupree. Apostle Marcus is not here with us tonight, but you will be on call with me, and God bless. He has a word for you tonight, those of you who are listening. If you have just got logged on and you're on the computer and you want to call in, the number to call in is 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. And you can put in number one if you have a comment or a question and you want to just chime in on the call. Amen, amen. So we just give God praise, glory, and honor for this awesome and wonderful day wherever you are, rain or shine. Jesus loves you, and it is a great day to be in the Lord. So we're just going to go to the throne right now. Father, we thank you just for this awesome day. We thank you for just bringing us to this point tonight, just protecting us and keeping us throughout this day, throughout the past week. And Lord, we come tonight just to hear from you, to continue on our journey in the Lord with strength and power in the name of Jesus. We thank you for giving us fuel so that we can do what you've called us to do in this wonderful walk. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise. We give you glory and honor for the word that shall come forth. We thank you for edifying the people and blessing them. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. So tonight, hallelujah, glory to God. So tonight, we will be talking about a familiar topic, fear, the enemy of faith. Fear, the enemy of faith. Fear and faith cannot work at the same time. It is impossible. That's like speaking Spanish and speaking English at the same time. They both can't come out of your mouth at the same time. One language is going to have to stop in order for the other language to come out. And it's the same thing with fear and faith. If you are operating in fear in any area of your life, then you are not operating in faith. You can't say you're in faith and trembling. That is not the same. You have to realize that when you're in fear, you're not in faith. When you're in faith, you're not in fear. So fear is the enemy of faith. Where there's an opportunity for faith, there is also an opportunity for fear. Anytime you have to utilize your faith, our walk with God is in faith. But there are certain instances that come up in our lives that we just need to be in faith. We just have to have faith there, present. So if that's an opportunity for you to believe God and stand in your on your faith in him for whatever it is, also know that that is an opportunity for fear to come in, because the enemy does not want you to walk in that faith that God has given us. You know, when you're born again, that is an act of faith in itself. And so your faith account, so to speak, starts at that moment, because you weren't there when Mary, you know, was implanted with that seed. You weren't there with at the virgin birth. So that's part of our faith, believing and trusting that God is real. Who he says he is real. And most of us haven't had, those of us that become born again, most of us have not had an experience for our salvation like Paul, you know, like where the Lord appears to you. Some people have, but not most Christians. Most Christians, you went to a church and you went to an altar and you just sensed within you, you needed to get yourself right, you needed to be saved, and so you went up in faith. So your salvation experience starts in faith. That's what starts your faith. But the enemy can use the fact that you are born again, that you believe God, and there's some things in this earthly realm, this soulish and physical realm, that he can try to use to deter you from faith, and he will try to have you operate in fear. Now, I'm going to give you some definitions of fear, and we're going to just walk through the Word of God and just see what the Lord is saying concerning fear, okay? So the first definition we're gonna look at here is to be afraid of something or someone. That is fear. most common definition, to be afraid of something or someone. Let's look at the scriptures. Let's go to Isaiah 41 and 10. The Lord reassures us constantly in the Word of God, simply because he knew the enemy would use a fear to hinder us for whatever he's told us to do. It doesn't matter. It could be something simple to something that seems so great that you wouldn't be able to do it. He will use fear to try to hinder you from doing the simplest thing, is getting up out of bed. He will use fear to tell you you won't be able to do that. You can't get up. It's impossible. You get up every morning, just one particular morning, the thought comes to your mind, don't get out of bed. Is something going to happen to you if you get out of bed? It was a famous person, and I cannot remember his name. He was afraid of, like, dust or something, so he never left his house. Fear had gripped him so that he thought if he left out of his house, he would die, because that fear had gripped him so. So to be afraid of someone or something, this man was afraid of dust. Isaiah 41 and 10, the Lord assures us here. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." The Father tells us here in the Word that there is absolutely nothing you need to be afraid of. Don't be dismayed. Don't let yourself be in a disarray about things that are going on. He says, because I'm with you. I'm with you. You know, it's like having this huge bodyguard walking around with you at all times. If you literally had bodyguards walking around with you, and this is just natural. You know, this is not even the spiritual realm. This is in the natural. If you were awarded a bodyguard for the rest of your life, or let's say two bodyguards for the rest of your life, one on the left, one on the right, there is absolutely nothing you probably would be afraid to walk through or withstand. Most things you wouldn't. You would even walk somewhere in an enemy's camp, because you know that those bodyguards that are with you, armed bodyguards at that, that if anyone tries to attack you, if anyone says anything out of turn, if anyone tries to approach you the wrong way, those armed bodyguards are going to make sure that you are protected. They will not let anyone touch you. They will not let anyone hurt you. They will not let anyone approach you. And so that's how the Father is when it comes to the fear. He said, I am with you. You're walking with the biggest bodyguard in the entire universe. He said, I'm going to give you strength. Not only am I with you to keep you and protect you, but I'm going to strengthen you. So there's no need to be afraid of anyone or anything. He said, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to hold you up. So if you think of those things that sometimes come about in our life and it just seems like, God, I'm going to fall. I can't stand in this situation. I don't have words to say anymore. I'm so tired and fearful of what's going to happen. The Lord says, I'm going to uphold you. You have to, like, close your eyes and just imagine the Lord just lifting you above that thing, lifting you beyond that thing, because that's how God is. So we don't have to be afraid. Some people walk around fearful about everything. They're afraid they're going to lose their job. They're afraid they're not going to have enough money. They're afraid they're not going to have enough food. They're afraid they're not going to have, they're not going to be able to do this. They're afraid they're going to die. They're afraid, they're going to lose their children. Just everything that you could imagine people walk around afraid of. And the subtlety of it is that they don't say that out of their mouth. They don't even say, I'm going to be afraid, or I am afraid. People will say things like, oh, y'all better eat, you better eat y'all food. You better eat all your food off your plate, because you know hungry going to get you. Or, oh, you better not do such and such, because you know them kids in Africa don't have any food. You know, so little things that they'll say. Now, they didn't say, I'm afraid that we won't have enough food, but the statement was a fearful statement. Because if I don't clean my plate, this may be my last meal. And so I got to make sure I eat every drop of it. That's a fearful thing. Just fear grips people. You know, they do things that just demonstrate fear all around all the time. I mean, just all the time. They just anything that comes up, there's a fearfulness. One of my relatives was afraid. She grew up in the in the 40s and 50s, 40s, you know, when she was little, probably the 20s and 30s when she was little. And so, you know, back then, for African Americans, even though slavery was ended, there was an etiquette that you had to have, even though you weren't a slave. You couldn't look a white person in the face. If they came to your house and visited you, you said yes, ma'am, no, yes, sir, and you did whatever they told you, even if it wasn't the right thing. And so I could tell that at an old age, she still had a fear of white America, even though we were far past that at this time. She was an old lady by the time I knew her, but we had gone way past that. You no longer, got punished if you looked a white person in the face. It was a time where people, African Americans, were more militant anyway. You're starting to understand that stuff that worked then doesn't work now. But her being an old lady didn't really get that concept because she wasn't out about like that with a lot of people. So if a white person came to her home, it was like you could tell a fear would grip her and her head would be held down. I'd be like, what is wrong with you? You know, he's just whoever. You know, I think it was like insurance people that come by your house and they pick up your payment. I was like, it's okay. He's just the insurance person. You know, you're just wondering why. And I didn't think about it until later, being a teenager. That was why. It's because that fear of what this person could do to her had gripped her so that even in a time when she didn't have to be like that, she still was. And so we have to be careful because that fear can travel down generations. And so when you tell your kids to eat all your food off your plate, not because you want them to be healthy, but because there's a concern about if we're going to have food later, you got to be careful of that because now you are going to end up passing that fear down generations, just like you can pass wealth from generation to generation. Well, there's some spiritual generational things that you can pass down as well, and you'll end up telling that to their child, and they'll tell their child the same thing, even if they're a millionaire, just because that's what they think they're supposed to say and do when it's really not what they have to do. Okay, second definition. To expect or worry about something bad or unpleasant. You know, this one is one of those definitions that when you read it, it actually makes you check yourself because when you hear that fear is to expect or worry about something bad or unpleasant, that means that you're expecting something bad to happen. Your expectations isn't for good things. Your expectation isn't for something exciting and something great is going to happen. You're really expecting something really bad to happen. Your expectation, you're sitting there going, oh, boy, when is the bad thing going to happen? When is the bad thing going to happen? Boy, I can't wait for something bad to happen. I mean, it's like your mind, that's crazy thinking to sit there. Now, we're not going to say, I expect something bad to happen. But we'll say, yeah, I got three blessings today. Oh, boy. I know every time it's a third, three blessings in a row, the devil coming. Well, I tell you what, the devil is coming. The devil about to bust through my door. I know it. I just know. I can feel Satan. I mean, what are you doing feeling the devil? You know, it's like your expectations are of something really bad. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need to stay on guard in your word. I'm not saying that you don't need to be able to recognize Satan. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be on your toes as far as your praying and your studying and keeping yourself alert and hear, alert to hear what the Lord is saying because he can warn you. No, I'm talking about people that are just fearful that something bad is going to happen. They just know it. Something bad is going to happen. It says to expect or worry about something bad or unpleasant happen. Let's look at Job 3:25. Because, you know, your expectation of something a lot of times determines what happens in your life. And I don't think that as believers that we really understand how that works, that we really understand the in-depthness of the fact that your expectations play a big role in what you receive, how you receive, when you receive. You know, if you're excited and you're expecting something wonderful to happen, then 9 times out of 10, something wonderful is going to happen. But if you're in expectation all the time of things bad, then that's probably what's going to happen. If you look at Job chapter 3 and verse 25, let's see what Job has said here. He said, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." The very thing that Job was fearing all this time, and we weren't there, but I can kind of speculate what his fear sounded like. He probably didn't say, "I'm afraid my wife is going to do this. I'm afraid." He probably didn't say that, but he probably may have said, like in modern day time, he may have said something like, "This is just too good to be true. Got me a beautiful wife, got me a nice family, beautiful kids, nice home, nice automobiles. I got a good job. I'm going with God. He's my best friend. This is too good to be true. I know something's going to happen. Something's going to happen." You know, he probably didn't even say it like how we're thinking. He probably said it like that. Like, you know, he didn't say, "I expect or worry about something bad or unpleasant happening." No, he didn't say it the definition way. He said it in another way, and it came from the enemy. You know, because that's how the enemy works. He tricks. He tries to trick God's people and anyone to get these subtle thoughts and things and images in our minds so that we can speak it out of our mouth so it doesn't sound like the bad thing when you're saying it or when you're thinking it. But when you compare it to what it actually is, when you look at a definition and then you compare it to what you've been thinking or what you've been saying, then you realize that the enemy has tricked me. He has tricked me in expecting something bad to happen. And that's what Job did. He expected something bad to happen. And so here he says, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. The very thing that I was so afraid of, it has happened. I was afraid that I would lose everything. I was afraid that my children would get sick and die. I was afraid that this would happen. I was afraid that that would happen. I was afraid that I would get sick in my own body." Some of you walk around with fears because your great-grandmother had it, your grandmother had it, your mama had it, your sisters had it, and it hasn't hit me yet, but this runs in my family. You're in a fear that this thing is going to be upon you. If you are online, just want to plug in again. If you're online and you're listening and you want to come in, chime in on the phone, the number is 347-945-5416, and put number 1 in the queue box if you have a question or a comment. But yes, so you're fearing a physical generational issue. You fear that it's going to come upon you. God has reassured us in his word so much about not being afraid. And another thing you have to remember is that when you became born again, you have the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus washes away everything that's not clean, everything that could possibly even probably come upon you. The blood of Jesus can keep you, heal you, protect you from it all. And so, yes, that may be your natural bloodline, but my spiritual bloodline is way stronger and way more powerful and has so much more in it that can keep me than any natural thing. And because He's placed me above and not below. Because I can cast down anything that's not like God. Because the name of Jesus, which resides on the inside of me with that dunamis power and that dunamis anointing, it doesn't matter, because the name of Jesus is above every name. The name of Jesus is above cancer. The name of Jesus is above fibroids. The name of Jesus is above any kind of disease, lupus, polio, whatever the enemy is trying to make you think is going to come upon you because of this in your family. The blood of Jesus is against alcoholism. The blood of Jesus is against drug addiction. Anything that people have told you year in, year out, and see, the enemy uses you. He can use anybody, somebody that's close to you. Man, you know your daddy was like that. You know your brother was like that. Dude, you know you gon' that's you right there, man. That's you right there. It's just, and then they try to be deep with it. It's just fate, man. Some of us just born in a family like that. No, it is not like that. That is not God. That is not, when you become born again, you took on a whole new family. And so you don't have to be in fear or afraid that the things that are running your family that haven't been good, that are there. Embrace those things that are good. That's the kind of stuff we want passed down. Those things that your grandmother was a praying woman, or your mom was a praying woman, that's the kind of stuff we want to pass down. And if you don't have someone in your family with a line like that, you can gain that in the spirit. God can do that for you. But you don't have to walk around in fear of things to come that are going to happen, and you expect it to happen because this happened to that person. You have to remember, God is a very he loves uniqueness. And so he'll make you different. He makes us different in our thinking and our approach and how we do things, because he likes variety. So just because it happened to every woman that you can think of in your family doesn't mean it'll happen to you. Just because it happened to every man that you can think of in your family doesn't mean it'll happen to you. And you have to be confident in the Lord, not in and of ourselves, but confident in God that he'll keep us and protect us, and he'll show us something that works for us to make us stand out from those things that are bad and those things that are not good and those things that we can fall into or fall upon us. God can keep us. Amen? Okay, let's also go to Philippians 4. I'll put that scripture in, too, to go along with that. So Job's expectation was that, you know, he feared that things were going to happen, and they did. And but if you read the story of Job, you also know that God restored him, and he was able to be totally and completely healed, and he got way more than what was stolen or taken from him, and it was all a test. And so thank God for Job. Amen. And that's a whole another sermon on Job, because you could just preach Job for about 2 weeks. 2 weeks, 7 days a week straight on his life and things that happened with him and how it compares to us as believers today. Okay, Philippians 4, verse 6. Now, this is what we're supposed to do. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, patience, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So, you know, you don't have to walk around in fear. Something comes, something is there, something needs to be dealt with. We go to God in prayer and supplication, and we let God know what it is and what's going on, what we need him to do. And then we just have confidence and let the Lord, you know, and he'll take care of it. I'm going to read that same scripture out of the New International Version. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be in fear about stuff. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Just give it to God. Just whatever it is that you need. You know, it's no need in bouncing off the walls about it. Just talk to the Lord. All right? The third definition I'm going to give you, it says to be afraid and worried. That's another one that creeps in. You know, worry tries to come in on the tail end of fear. Because now you're afraid about the situation, and now you spend days on end thinking about what you're afraid of. I mean, you just spend days over days, you know, about thinking about and concerned about what you are afraid of. God does not want us to be like that. And we're going to go to Matthew 6:25. It says to be afraid and worried. And this is also a familiar passage, but it ties in because of the fear factor. Okay, so we're going to start at verse 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Okay, I'm going to stop for a second. If you are online and you would like to chime in, you'd like to call in and hear, maybe you have a question or a comment, the number is 347-945-5416. And you can punch in number 1 in the call box if you want to speak. All right, verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Okay, we're going to take a brief break, and we're going to come back and finish up that scripture. And when we finish that scripture, the Lord will open our eyes to some more things. Amen.
join in his prayer. Every step I take, I will. In my troubled times,
I will.
In my sadness,
I will.
Trust you. In all of my hurt,
I will.
I will.
Praise God. Welcome back. Praise God. We are talking about fear, the enemy of faith. And we are in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to continue reading. We started at verse 25, and now we're at verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, ye of little faith. Now, did you say there's a caller? Yes, there is a caller. Okay. Caller, you are on the line. Have a question or a comment?
I have a comment going back
yes.
to Job. Yes.
Yes.
Going back to Job and what you were saying, in Job 4:14-16, it says, mm-hmm. Fear came upon me and trembled, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, and I'm not going to go on, but you were talking about the older women and the way, you know, they used to think back in the time and that spirit of fear coming on them. And I remember being as a child, my parents were like, the boogeyman is going to get you, the boogeyman, you know, and they will put that fear in you. And then I started to do research on boogey, and it's a specter, a phantom, a source of fear, perplexity or harassment. And I was like, wow. So, you know, it's directly related to demonic apprehension.
Yeah.
And then and then there was another one, people would walk around talking about bugaboos, and that's the same thing. It's an imaginary object of fear. Something that causes fear or distress over proportion to its importance. So it's a magnification, you know, in the individual's mind. And it's like, so, you know, these old people back in the time used to say stuff to children like that. And so they put this spirit of fear on them. So they grew up in fear. And, you know, sometimes as an adult, you just wonder where it comes from.
Right.
But then when you start doing research and you start studying and you find out, you know, these things that they used to just say to keep kids disciplined was actually a spirit of fear that was introduced in their life. And so they grow up tormented and don't know why they're tormented.
Exactly.
You know, so I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank
and then,
you so much.
Yep, and then it goes into 2 Corinthians. It says, "For the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." So we have to as adults, if we're not taught, or no one teaches us the word or teaches us the warfare, we go through life as Christians in fear, and we shouldn't.
That's right.
We really
That's
shouldn't.
Right.
You know, so a lot of times it's ignorance on, whoever's mentoring you or teaching you that are not bringing you to this place of, studying and breaking the word down. So I just wanted to share that with you. But when you were talking about in Job, that just came to me, and I just wanted to share that.
Praise God. Thank you so much for chiming in and giving us that information, very useful information. And see what, I'm in agreement with what you said, because what happened, because I remember people using the term boogeyman when we were little, and what happens, it is a subtle way that the enemy actually introduces that fear, not knowing that you're actually engaging in some type of demonic speech. You don't even know it, but you're putting it in the atmosphere. And you're right, as we become adults, it's important for us to really research and find out what it is that we've been saying that has been passed down, and stop saying, "Oh, that's how that's how grandmother them did it," or
that's how mama did it.
It may not have been right, and not saying that they intentionally did it. They're just doing what was passed down to them, probably
knew.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them did know, and so it's really important that in this day and age, I was talking to some of the people today, saying the message was recognizing the enemy, knowing who Satan is. He will do subtle things, and because we have so much media right now, he used to just have to keep people from the church door.
Right.
That's how he could win like that. But now he has to be more cunning, because you can sit in your living room and get full of the word. And so he can't use just keeping people from the church door. And so anything that he can get the worldly attitudes and attributes introduced, and fear is one of those number one things, he will do it. And if it takes doing something real subtle that people are ignorant of, he will do that. And so thank you so much for that information. And, yes, the Bible, the Lord, always gives us a weapon to combat the enemy. And the Word of God does tell us to cast down those things that try to exalt itself, make it themselves bigger than the knowledge of God. And anything that's placed in front of you to bring fear is trying to make themselves bigger than what God has told you, what God has promised you, what God has said in His Word. And so we have to utilize the Word of God. He said, cast it down. And because you're born again, you have the power to do that. You don't have to sit around and try to figure out. You have the power within you through Jesus Christ to cast down the enemy. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And one of my favorite scriptures I had to use to overcome that was Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." So he's given us a sound mind, and we have to know that no weapon formed can prosper. It can't.
That's right.
It can't. We have to recognize who we are and whose we are.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Praise God. Okay, we're going to continue to read in our word, and it says here in verse, we go to verse 30 again, Matthew 6, verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, if you have little faith, that means you have much fear," or all fear. I mean, if your faith is that, when he says, "Oh, you have little faith," that means you don't have any trust in God. I mean, it's very minimal, the trust you have in God. But the fear of things not coming to pass, or the fear of things going completely opposite of what the Lord says, that is what is there within you. Okay, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith all shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek." This is what the world looks for. They're always running after things like that. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." Well, God knows we need those things. That's not what he wants to be the most important thing on your radar. He knows that we have to have certain things for this flesh to survive and function. And listen, God is not ignorant of the times. He knows that this is 2014, and he does realize that gas is $3.50 or whatever the gas is in your area, and it's not 99 cents a gallon anymore. Because it doesn't matter to God, because if he provided for the 99 cents, he'll provide for the $3.50. So you have to understand that those numbers, he knows that it's in a different time, but the inflation doesn't matter to God because he's a God that doesn't change, and if he provided yesterday, he'll provide today. You know, the life of those during the Adam and Eve time and during the Abraham time, their life living was different and the needs were not as great as when the time Jesus was walking on the earth and or the time of Paul. There was a different time set, and yet he provided for the people during Abraham's time. He provided for the people during Moses' time. He provided for the people during Paul's time and beyond. And so he knows that times change, that inflation and money and all that stuff happens, but it doesn't matter to God. He's still going to provide. And so it says here, you know, basically he's saying that's what the world concerns himself with. I don't need you to be wasting precious time on that. What I need you to be doing is verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's get the kingdom and getting things done for the kingdom rolling and living right and doing those things that are right and hearing the voice of God and being obedient and doing the will of God. And all these things that you're talking about, I'll make sure that we add that to it. We'll just add it. We'll just add that to the provisions of things that need to happen so that the kingdom of God can be expanded. You know, that is the purpose. We are to expand the kingdom of God, therefore, decreasing the number of people that potential members of hell, we're expanding the kingdom of God. And so the scripture here plainly tells us not to worry. Don't be afraid. God has that situation. Let's just seek the face of God. Let's seek the kingdom and everything that's within it. All right. Now I'm going to give you a few more scriptures, a few more definitions. And then we'll go over a couple of scriptures that match them. Another definition is to be frightened, of course. Then there's reverential awe of God. That is the fear, really, that we should have, which is not really of you being afraid, but it's such a respect and an honor of God, you know. And we read in some of the scriptures where when some of the men of God would have an encounter, you know, they fall on their knees and they tremble in fear, not because some of them, you know, it's a reverential type of fear. It's just being in awe of who God is and that he's so great and he would talk to you and deal with you being just a regular person. You know, is that type of reverential fear and awe of God, which is a good one. Those people that are not that don't have fear of the Lord, they usually lose their life because if you don't fear the Almighty God and what he can do. I remember watching the Titanic, and my husband always references this because one of the people played, we thought, and this is based on the movie. I'm not sure if it's if it happened real or they just kind of added that in a movie. Is there a caller? Okay, no. But I remember hearing on the movie, the first part of the movie, when they're getting ready to board the ship and they're getting on the ship, and they were so amazed at how big this ship was and how great this ship was. I think during that time it was the biggest there was, and it made it so large and so huge. And one of the passengers, before he boarded the ship, he said, "This ship is so big and it's so massive," or whatever. He said, "Not even God can sink this ship." Why would somebody in their right mind make a statement like that? Not even God can sink this ship? So, as a result, God's hand, if it was on that ship, was removed, and that ship sunk. With all those people on it. someone that lets something like that come out of their mouth is obviously not walking in any type of reverential fear of the Lord. They are not in awe of God at all. They don't fear God because you wouldn't say that knowing how powerful the Lord is, that when he speaks, he can make water, seas stop rumbling. He can make the wind turn. You wouldn't say that if you understood the type of God that he is. All right, so reverential awe of God. Another definition is to be afraid of, expect with alarm. To be afraid of, expect with alarm. And then to be afraid or apprehensive, that's another definition. So there's several definitions that kind of center around the same thing, you know, just this huge fear that just takes place. And you can function in fear, and which it seems kind of silly, but you can function in fear in one area of your life and not in another, which is, you know, it's kind of silly, but people do that, you know. You can be in fear of losing a family member, but in this area of your life, you know that God will make sure your food is in your refrigerator. You have no doubt about that. But when it comes to your family member, you have a fear that you're going to lose them. So, you know, you can be in one area of your life, and that's how your faith becomes little, because you're not operating in the fullness. Operating in the fullness of faith would disintegrate any fear in any area of your life, because the same God that will provide food in your refrigerator is the same God that will keep your family. You know, he's not a different God. It's not a presto changeo God. And, well, God, you know, what you're saying to the Lord is, okay, you take care of this right here, but this matter over here, I'm going to have to take care of it. Because when you're in fear, you know, you have that worry and dragging on the back of you. Now, this family member situation, God, I don't trust you to do this now, so I'm going to just be afraid of this right here. You don't have to say the words, but that's what your actions are saying. I'm going to be afraid of this right here, and you take care of that refrigerator, okay? I know you got that. I know you got the refrigerator, but this family situation, I got this, okay? I'm going to just hold on to this and worry about it. You know, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense. But we don't think about the in-depthness of what we're really saying or what our actions are really showing, then we don't see it. We don't really understand what we're saying. We're going to go to a scripture that the sister mentioned, and that's 2 Timothy. Let's just look at it, 1:7, and read it. Because in all of this fear, God already tells us what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. So you know, if God didn't give it to you, you know this fear comes straight from the devil. Where is God going to get it from? It's not in heaven with him, so he definitely couldn't give it to you. He definitely couldn't give it to you. I mean, it's impossible for God to give it to you. He doesn't have it. He said he hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I mean, your mind is at peace and ease. Because you know when you're in fear, your mind, oh my gosh, your mind, the enemy just brings every disastrous, negative, thoughtless, anything that's just not good, he will bring to your mind when you're in fear. And that's how he fuels the fear. He keeps you fearing by bringing thoughts to you that aren't right. He keeps you fearing by bringing messages to you from different people. He keeps you fearing by bringing negative things through the television. He keeps you fearing. You know, I remember when Anthrax came out, oh my gosh, they played Anthrax on the news so much that people who didn't even have a mailbox was scared of Anthrax. Well, they say they're sending it through the mail. What are you afraid of? You don't even have a box in front of your house. Why are you walking around afraid of Anthrax? People just scared just because they play that thing on the news so much. I mean, they just expected white dust and powder on anything. You know, it's like, what's that on my grass? It's the turpentine you put on there last week. That had nothing to do with Anthrax. you know, when people just, they just get this thing in their mind, you know, when the enemy brings those thoughts and it just sits there and it marinates, and then they see things on the outside coming into their eye gate, their ear gate, you know, through their own mouth, they hear it as well, and it just builds up, and they're just frightened about things that they really shouldn't be frightened about. And so the word tells us he has not given us that kind of spirit. That's not, if you are walking in fear about anything, that is not what born again, when you became born again, that is not what you received from God. And so you know it's the enemy. You know it's the devil. So you have to take control of that situation and read the scripture and seek God's face and say, you know, Lord, this is not supposed to be a part of my kingdom life. Fear is not a part of my kingdom life, no matter what situation I'm in. I could be on the brink of a disaster. In the if you're listening, anyway, I'm sorry, if you're listening to online, call in 347-945-5416. Put in number one if you have a comment or a question. But, yeah, wherever you are, you know, in the southern part of the United States, or the coastal, I should say, parts of the United States, those of us, especially on the eastern coast, where we live near water, May through November is hurricane season for us. And there are some people that they are always on pins and needles. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be alert, and if they tell you to mandatory evacuation, okay, you need to evacuate. You need to leave the area. But you should not be in fear for 6 months out of the year that a hurricane is going to blow your house down. You know, it's just not something you need to sit and be concerned with, because if it's going to happen, it may or may not. I mean, it's according to you. You don't speak the words. Pray the prayer protection upon your home, and the Lord can keep it. But you sitting there worrying about it is not going to change anything. The words of faith can change things, but not you worrying about it, not you being overly concerned about it. You know, that's not God. That's not how God wants us to be. He wants us to be at ease. He wants you to have a sound mind. Your mind is not going to be sound if you're constantly worried about something happening bad, something going to happen. Something's not even happened. You just, because you think it's going to happen. You know, you need to be really, really careful that you don't allow the enemy to just infiltrate your mind with garbage, because that's what it is. It's really garbage to the spirit. It's garbage. It's pollution to the spirit, because it's like oil spilling in the ocean. It kills every life living thing on the inside of your spirit. It's trying to drown out God, and all you hear is Satan, so that your time on earth can't be like heaven on earth. The enemy wants you to live in turmoil. He wants to make you think that living as a Christian is awful, because remember when you were in the world, you didn't never worry about that. You always had money. Man, I ain't never had no money problems until I became a Christian. You know, so it's one of those things of really, really combating against Satan, because the enemy will try to get into your head, get into your mind, and make you think that this is not the way to go. And if he can't turn you back into the world, if he can't make you come back into the world with that type of thought, then as a Christian, he wants you to live busted. He wants you to live disgusted. He wants you to be miserable. He don't want to hear you laughing in the spirit. He don't want to hear you speaking in tongues. He don't want to hear you praying for people. He don't want to hear you being a blessing and telling no testimony. So if I can't make them turn and come back to the way of the world because they think that's better, then I'm going to put enough fear in them that I will just shut them down completely, and they won't do none of that Jesus thing. So he always has a plan and a tactic. He really does. He has a plan and a tactic, and we have to be able to know what it is. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and 17. And that's going to be our last scripture. We could really talk about this a lot. We're going to stop with that one scripture. Hebrews 11 and 17. It says, by faith, Abram, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Abraham, perfect example. He was in fear, I'm sure, when he offered his son, but God gave him the strength, and he went forth and did it. And as a result, we have Jesus. We have Jesus now. So we thank God for this lesson on fear, the enemy of faith. I pray that you heard something tonight that will be a blessing for you and your family. Thank you for all of those that came on and listened. Thank you for the caller that chimed in. And this is Prophetess Selena Dupree. Again, Apostle Marcus Dupree is not here tonight, but he's usually here with me. And so we thank God for you letting us enter into your home. Join Eagles Wings International Ministries on Sundays at 5 p.m. or Tuesdays at 7:15 p.m. at 843-619-0410. You can join in with us. And if you like, you can call in on those days. And we thank God for this opportunity as Eagles Flight Hour. And you guys have a blessed night. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, he said casting our cares unto him because he cared for us. A lot of times we carry these burdens when it wasn't meant for us to carry them.
Just wonderful when God places a shepherd in your midst that that does what Jesus does.
Everything wants to be built up in our life. Everything has a voice. You know, sometimes we can have so many voices speaking into our ears, and we just need to get to the voice that matters the most, the Lord's voice.
Because he doesn't give us one or two or three. He gives us so many chances because he's a faithful God. You know, we mess up a lot as Christians. Sometimes it's things that we know, and then sometimes it's things that we're doing that we just don't know.
Any which way he can try and get you away from God, he's always trying to do that, always trying to pull you away.
Eagles in Flight Hour with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree.
Listen.
The Potter. He saw a vessel.
Marcus Dupree, Prophetess Selena Dupree. You can catch them every Sunday at 9 here on EMG Radio. Amen. And tomorrow night we'll have the premiere of The Queen's Court brought to you by New Testament Temple. End Time Remnant, 9 o'clock, The Women of God. We have Be Loyal with Prophetesses, 9 o'clock back here on the same dial, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, The New Testament Temple. End Time Remnant, Outreach, amen. They will have their 5 a.m. prayer. Amen, on the conference line at 218-632-0752. The passcode is 7777-pound. For those of you who need the information again, we're going to give it to you. It's area code 218-632-0752, and the passcode is 7777-pound. They be on there Monday through Saturday, amen. The Wail and Travail, Threshing Floor, Prayer Line, amen. Many testimonies. Folks have received the Holy Ghost, financial breakthroughs, amen. So we definitely going to be on there in the morning, amen, calling on the name of the Lord, amen. Also, amen, beginning following Friday, not this Friday, but the following Friday after, where we will have the broadcast of Beyond the Veil Prayer Ministries. They will have their broadcast here on Fridays, amen, at 9 p.m., amen. So be sure you tune into that. God is doing a lot of things here on EMG Radio, amen. We thank you for tuning in tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Be sure you catch the Eagles in Flight Hour next week, amen. I believe Apostle Marcus Dupree will be back here, amen, 9 p.m. Eagles mount up, Eagles take flight. God bless you and good night.
Maybe you knew that's all. Yeah.
again.